Les colloques du Collège de France.
Dear colleagues, participants of the conference devoted to the 140th anniversary of the Old Babylonian Studies, I would like to present you a short review of the Old Babylonian tablets in the collection of the State Hermitage in St. Petersburg. Before I start, I would like to thank the organizers of the conference, Professor Dominique Charpin and Dr. Antoine Jacquet, for their kind invitation. I'm extremely thankful to Natalia Kozlova, the keeper of the cuneiform collection at the Hermitage. My deep thanks are also to Professor Jean-Marie Duran, who helped me in my work on the tablets I'm going to present now. It goes without saying that all possible errors in reading and interpretation are my responsibility. The State Hermitage at St. Petersburg houses a collection of approximately 2,500 cuneiform tablets, representing almost all periods of the development of the cuneiform script. The vast majority of the Hermitage tablets were initially acquired by Nikolai Petrovich Lihachev, a Russian historian and collector, and entered the museum in parts, first in 1930 and then in 1938, after the death of Lihachev. Lihachev was deeply interested in the history of writing, paleography, and diplomatics. Being a specialist in the medieval texts, he had no knowledge of cuneiform, but his intuition allowed him to acquire an excellent sample of the ancient Mesopotamian tablets dating from the all main periods of the cuneiform civilization. The major part of the collection is represented by the texts of the 3rd millennium BC, mainly in Sumerian. Old Babylonian tablets occupy a rather modest place. There are only 255 of them and one-tenth of the total number of cuneiform objects. However, it is the second group in number after the Sumerian documents. It should be noted that Lihachev acquired the texts for his collection on the antiquity market in Europe at the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century. Some acquisitions were made in Paris, in the stores of such dealers as Mihran Sivajan, Zhezhou, and others. The Old Babylonian texts in the Hermitage were studied by several scholars: Vladimir Shileika, Alexander Rifkin, Igor Diakonov, Isaac Wyman, and Nelly Kozareva. The major publication is the book by Rifkin of 1937, which contains an edition of 100 Old Babylonian administrative and legal tablets presently kept at the Hermitage. 47 texts of this edition are housed now elsewhere, mainly in the Museum of Fine Arts in Moscow. 6 letters were published by Shileika and Kozareva. Wyman edited 3 mathematical tablets. Though Diakonov did not publish any tablets himself, he was responsible for the classification and organization of the Old Babylonian part of the collection at the time of his work in the Hermitage. Thus, to a present day, roughly half of the Old Babylonian texts is published. Except for the German article by Shileika, all publications are written in Russian. The texts from the book by Rifkin are available in the Archibab database, with readings proposed by Johannes Renger and Dominique Charpin. Old Babylonian part of the Hermitage cuneiform collection is diverse in regard to text genres. They include scholarly and religious texts, probably one divination tablet with hepatoscopy, scholar exercises. There are official royal inscriptions, namely an inscription by the king of Uruk, Sinkashat. And the larger part is represented by the archival texts, which includes legal contracts, receipts, notes, lists of persons, animals, commodities, and letters. I will speak only of several texts, one legal document, and 7 letters. One of the most interesting among the unpublished legal documents is a small tablet measuring 6.2 to 4.6 centimeters, which entered the Hermitage collection in 1938. It is written in an archaic script, and its dating formula mentions the name of Manana. As this letter element points out, the tablet should belong to a large complex of texts dating to the early Old Babylonian period, stemming from the private archives whose place of origin is to be sought in the city of Damrum in the vicinity of Kish. The overall number of this corpus is 2 150 documents. The most significant part of this corpus is kept in Louvre and Yale collections. Apart from that, texts of this group are represented in many other museum collections around the world. Having listed these museums in his 2017 article, Rins de Boer remarks that this list is not a closed one, and apparently new texts of the Monana dynasty should still come to light from different private and official museum collections. The example of these hermitage tablets shows the correctness of this prediction. This tablet is a sale document. The object of transaction is a female slave, Purattum Umi. Her master, Bagdia, sells her for 14 shekels of silver to Sin Iddinum. There is a Bukanum clause, Bukanum Shutuk. He made her pass along a wooden pestle. The participants of the deal promise not to claim against each other. They take an oath by the king. The text ends with a list of witnesses and a date. The date consists of a month, evidently written with a mistake, and a year name. The name of the slave, Purattum Umi, the river Euphrates is my mother, belongs to the type of river names. The fact that it is a feminine name can be assured by a parallel in UEC 5719, where the same name is preceded with a logogram Gemme II. Maybe it is the first completely syllabic attestation of this name in the old Babylonian corpus. The prices for slaves in the text of the Manana dynasty vary from 7.5 to 20 shekels. In the Hermitage tablets, the price is rather high. The buyer in the text is Sin Iddinum, though no affiliation is given. He is probably identical with Sin Iddinum, son of Sania, whose archive contains 26 texts. With the Hermitage tablet, it amounts now to 27. Interestingly, 25 of this number are represented by the documents from Louvre. As was already remarked, Lihachev acquired a considerable part of his collection from the Parisian antiquity dealers. Chronologically, the archive of Sin Iddinum spans from the fourth year of Halium to the second year of Sumu Yamutbal, from 1892 to 1858, which corresponds approximately to 35 years. Legal acts and economic activities of Sin Iddinum, as well as of his son Rish Shamash, are attested by this archive. As for the contents of the documents, there are 17 acquisitions of fields, gardens, and date groves, 6 loans, and 3 slave sales. The Hermitage tablet is the fourth in this row. The buyer is called Bagdia. This name is attested in 3 other texts of the Monana corpus, in YOS 1454, R28, and in YOS 14104. On the first 2 tablets, there is an impression of the seal of a certain Bagdia, son of Hamasiru. Both documents are loans. In R28, Bagdia takes a loan himself. In YOS 1454, his name does not appear in the text. It is present only on the seal impression. In YOS 14104, Bagdia has no patronym and is acting as a seller of a field. The question of identity of Bagdia of the Hermitage text with some of the aforementioned personalities cannot be solved for sure at present. Unfortunately, Bagdia's characteristic in line 6 is difficult from the epigraphic point of view. At the end of the line, there is the name of the god Sin. It can be a theophoric element of the personal name, which can be a name of Bagdia's father. Then the first sign in the line is Dumu. The name of Sin can also be a part of Bagdia's title, evidently connecting him to the sphere of religion. All depends upon the reading of the initial sign or 2 initial signs in the line. If it is Dumu plus sign like Bur, Shu, Sig, one could read Bagdia, son of Bur Sin, Shu Sin, or Ipik Sin. If it is a single sign, then it should be most probably read Balag, a logogram which renders a name of a musical instrument, but here it should stand for Shabalagya, an occupation name that is of a musician playing the Balag instrument. It is additionally defined by name of the moon god Sin, whose cult was important in the state of the Manana dynasty. We made a choice in favor of this second option. The absence of Nota Genitivi Shah is an obvious drawback of this solution, but an alternative reading, as Bagdi's filiation, is also problematic because of the shape of the first sign. Besides, on the impression of the seal, the name of Bagdi appears on the second line, whereas on the first one, one should expect his title, rather his father's name. Unfortunately, exactly the first line of the seal impression is poorly preserved. If the correct version contains the reading of Balag, then an identity with Bagdi from three other texts remains a possibility. The names of some witnesses, such as Ibn Sina and Iliya, are found elsewhere in the corpus. These names are quite common, so there is of course no confidence that they are the same persons, but if they are, there will be a connection to other archives, that of Dulukum, son of Hadamu, and Sinbani, son of Sinabushu. The dating formula is of course a valuable piece of information in this text. The closest one is the year name called Manana D by Dominic Charpin, or Manana double K according to Stephen Simmons. This already known formula looks like a year when Manana fashioned the bronze drum of the Nana's temple. It can be suggested that both formulas refer to one and the same event. The variability of formulation is a characteristic feature of the year names in the Manana corpus. The formula in the Hermitage document is, however, different from that of the Louvre and Yale texts, because it had the word Mu'us Sa, the year after, which means that it can be a separate year. This in turn can bear significance for the reconstruction of the chronology of the Manana dynasty. Turning to the next group of texts, letters, it should be noted that some of them are of considerable historical import, and they complement the information of already known sources. All in all, there are 23 old Babylonian letters in the collection of the Hermitage. The first text is the most important from the historical point of view, a letter by Hammurabi to Sin-Iddinam, the governor of the conquered Larsa kingdom. It is a very short document containing an order to come to Babylon addressed to Sin-Iddinam. It was published by Vladimir Shileika in 1914. And an electronic version of this edition is available at the Archibab site. The letter 15057 is a part of the ancient Near Eastern exposition at the Hermitage nowadays. It is written by Shamash Nishu to several addressees. The author asks to send 2 core of fine soil on a boat belonging to Shamash Nazar. Shamash Nishu demands not to detain his agent and adds a threat: "I will not keep you alive." Next, several letters are connected to the activities of Balmunamhe and his household in Larsa. In her publication of the letters, Nelly Kozreva has demonstrated several parallels between these letters and the text from Louvre published in ABB 14. In the letter 15058, 3 topics are discussed. All of them are connected to agriculture. The author, the agent of Balmunamhe, Tzili Shamash, reports about the fulfillment of his lord's instructions. The first one is an order to send oxen. Tzili Shamash responds that the old oxen are busy with working on a sesame field. Another group of animals can be sent immediately for transporting the reed bundles. The second question concerns the barley crops in 2 towns, Shirimtum and Pi'ilim. Tzili Shamash says that the grain in both locations will be winnowed and sent to Balmunamhe as soon as it is ready for transportation. Finally, Tzili Shamash discusses the transportation of barley to Larsa, to the storages of the Balmunamhe's household. The boats will be needed for this. Interestingly enough, the content of this letter has something in common with ABB 1456. As we see, the formulas concerning the grain in two cities are almost identical. The next letter, 15059, develops the contents of the previous one. Cili Shamosh informs about sending of 660 core of barley to his lord. Equally, this letter picks up a topic which is discussed in another text from Luger, namely in ABB 1455, in which Cili Shamosh reports Balmonamhe about the fabrication of the doors ordered by Balmonamhe, and in which the description of these doors is given. In 15059, Cili Shamosh announces the completion of the work. The doors are installed in the house. 15230 is another letter by Cili Shamosh, but at this time he is addressing not to Balmonamhe but to Gemilu, who is tentatively identified by Nelly Kozreva as Balmonamhe's brother. The text is again devoted to the delivery of barley. Cili Shamosh does not want to spend the grain on particular occasions, but wants to load and send the whole amount at once. The delivery is to be made from Shirintum, a town which is mentioned several times in the letters by Cili Shamosh. 15233 is still another letter from the same file concerning the household of Balmonamhe, yet it transfers us to a later period in the times of the king Samsuiluna. The addressee is Bala, probably a grandson of Balmonamhe, and the sender is Sin Shemi. The subject of this letter is again the transportation of barley in large amounts. It should be done with participation of Inbi Elishu. The following document, 15226, also has parallels among the texts from Luver, edited in ABB 14, namely in numbers from 65 to 71. It is a part of correspondence of Nur Shamosh. He is not the sole addressee. The others, or Madutim in Akkadian, are mentioned in the beginning of the text. The letter was sent by Shamosh Natsar, who was a Shandanakum official of the central government, responsible for collection of taxes in kind and in silver. He was active in the early years of King Samsuiluna. He resided in Babylon while Nur Shamosh stayed in Pi-Kasi, a town in the lower Yehrurum, situated to the southeast of Babylon. There is a mention of a toponym, Tur-Ugulle, in our text, which is already known in the corpus of Nur Shamosh correspondence. Another common feature is the mention of Ishei Pan Shamosh, who is called Bel Pichatim and Avilum, and also appears in letters from ABB 14. The letter is devoted to the deliveries of dates. A part of them should be paid to the palace. At the end of the text, there is a mention of Bit Asiri, House of Prisoners. Finally, the letter 15131 makes us descend on the chronological scale even lower, down to the second half of Samsuiluna's reign. This letter belongs to the archive of Alamush Natsar. As the majority of other letters from this archive, it is addressed to Nabi Shamosh, who was an intendant in the household of Alamush Natsar. The content of the letter conforms with the qualification of Alamush Natsar as an authoritarian and captious person. In the text, he demands that even a small quantity of products should not leave his stores. But the most interesting information from the historical point of view is a mention in passing of the Zikaret in Kish. It is said that the straw is needed for the renovation works on the Zikaret, and Nabi Shamosh should prepare the straw in time. Previously, there were no evidence on the Zikaret and Kish in the old Babylonian times. Finishing our short review, We must stress that the rest of the unpublished texts also contain important information and deserve attention. One should hope that the further research on the old Babylonian tablets from the Hermitage will enrich us with new knowledge and help us to better understand this classical period in the history of the Mesopotamian civilization. Thank you for your attention.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.